You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and on this occasion I am joined by Joel Sked.
Hello.
And we are going to be doing the first of our top 12 series for this season. If you're new to the podcast, every year we do this, we pick the 12 players that are the best in a particular position for the top flight. We have extended it to all of Scottish football in the past, but that was mainly just when we had Rangers, Hearts and Hibs in the second tier, and we needed our knowledge to stretch that far. And also, it was a weird time. So we decided to adapt to the times. But it is the top flight, and we're starting with the best 12 goalkeepers. A couple of names on here. Four names on here. I would not be too happy if my club signed them. But I think it was the same last year as well. Joel, before we get to the list, let me ask you, where would Craig Gordon have ranked on your list?
Two.
You're allowed to pick him. Two. Yeah, it's the same for me.
Two. And when you said if where would he be on my list, he literally was on my list with about 30 seconds ago before I was reminded that it was just Premiership only. Having watched a lot of Craig Gordon yesterday, having gone through his conceded goals and saves, he is definitely the second best goalkeeper in Scotland.
Yeah.
I also had Aidan McAdams on my list, but I've been real impressed with him, Green and Morton goalkeeper. Been impressed with him, especially when he's come up against Hearts. I think he's a really good prospect. But no, he has also been deleted from the list, and two others added.
Right, let's begin. I think my number 12 is already going to be on your list and further, bit further down, because I think you're a fan of this guy. I originally picked 10 players. So I was like, right, I'll go with this 10. And then I had another four. I was like, right, it's between these guys. So I've kind of watched them all this season. But then when I watched this guy, like the clips, I wasn't as impressed as I thought I was, kind of like the kind of narrative. So at number 12, I've got Livingston reserve goalkeeper, Max Strayek. Have you got him higher?
Yeah, I've got him. I've got him a fair bit higher.
Right,
not a fair bit higher. He's a few places higher.
Okay. So yeah, I originally had him in my 10, and then I actually had a couple of the kind of outsiders looking in placed above him because I was kind of looking at his saves. I looked at all his saves. I looked at all the shots that he's all the goals he's conceded. I think he made that incredible save on his debut. I think it was at least his league debut against Rangers. Ellen, he's in the 0-0 draw. What's it? Maybe Barisic or Kent, maybe, where he basically like full stretch, top corner, incredible stop, banged into the post as well, which always kind of makes it look better from a goalkeeping point of view. You're actually putting your body on the line to stop it. And then I kind of looked to the rest, and he's had a few errors himself. They're not as kind of glaring. And I think he's maybe, I don't know whether I'd overrated him in my mind, or in Scottish football as a whole would overrated him in their minds, just because he is, while I've got him 12th, and I don't think he's had a good season, there's the next couple of guys on the list, and these are guys that, had you asked me before I did this research, I would have said there's no way they'd be ahead of him. But I wonder just whether he's been bigged up a little bit more, because I don't think he's that good, but he's undoubtedly better than Robbie McCrory.
Yes, McCrory's probably one of the biggest disappointments for me over the last 18 months or so, because I think he had a very good championship career. I think there's high hopes for him at Ibrox, and then he's gone to Livingston, and it's almost a case of, is that it? And he made another
mistake at the weekend for Raith Rovers' goal, like just not getting across quickly enough to a ball 2 yards inside the post. He seems to make mistakes all the time, and it's unfathomable to me why he continues to be ahead of Strayek in the Livy side.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Strayek, I don't mind. His stats hold up pretty solidly for what he does. I think he's quite like his build as a goalkeeper. So I always kind of look at goalkeepers as kind of categorize them three kind of areas, where you've got the really kind of athletic, agile goalkeeper, you've got a kind of tall, commanding presence goalkeeper, or you've got like a square goalkeeper who just has this wall-like quality. And I think Strayek falls into that. So that's why I have him a wee bit higher up. I don't think he's had... I think you've watched every single goal scored in Scottish Premiership over the last few hours. But I have... I can't think of glaring errors.
Yeah,
or glaring weaknesses.
I picked out, I'm not going to be able to remember them off the top of my head, but I made a note like of how many kind of terrific saves he made and how many mistakes he made. And I think it kind of evened out to about four each. And I was expecting better than that. And it just kind of took me aback. And I'm trying to remember the mistakes. And definitely one of them was the St. Johnson game, which I think maybe put a seed of doubt into David Martindale's mind, because he was dropped after the Dundee United match, conceded three goals, but he wasn't in fault for any of them. It was
the St. Johnson game, he conceded a free kick from Tanzer where he didn't move.
Yeah.
And to be fair, for both goals, he didn't move.
Aye, I don't think the other one was that bad. I think it was just a free kick, but he's had a couple early in the season as well. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but there was one or two more that I was like, all right, I don't remember this kind of being made a big deal of at the time, but that's definitely an error. And he's not, and like I said, after that save against Rangers on his kind of league debut, he's only made, I think, I'd put it in as like an R3 that I thought, wow, that's a good save. Whereas just there was kind of a better ratio for that for the guys I've got immediately ahead of him. And okay. you're going to be surprised. You're definitely going to be surprised, because I was fucking surprised. So you're definitely going to be surprised. Who's your number 12?
So my number 12 is, I was kind of laughing about them, but my 12 and 11 have been goalkeepers that really rate, but have been better than I expected them to be. So Ross Laidlaw is number 12.
I've got him in number 10. And so, it's the same reason. Like, I didn't expect him to be good, but he has actually been quite good this season.
He has been quite good. Laidlaw's always been a weird one, because he's, I don't think any kind of supporter base have been overly enamoured with him. I think he had his issues at Ross County, but in the Premiership, I don't think he's let teams down badly. He's had a few cracking games for Ross County, but one thing I'll say is that every time he has a cracking game for Ross County, there's one or two like kind of glimpses of him. Off the like Laidlaw, people expect the kind of erraticness off him, and erratic is not a quality you want for a goalkeeper. For example, the Celtic game, he made some absolutely brilliant saves. Well, one in particular from Ryan Christie, was it?
The Christie one was the not as quite as impressive as the one for El Yunusi.
El Yunusi, yeah, sorry. But there was a couple of moments in that Celtic game where he almost handed them.
He did have that fresh air swipe at an attempted clearance with little pressure on him.
He is someone who I think He scrapes, got the surface and shot stopping. Yep, decent enough, but he's, I think he's limited in a number of areas.
I think he, kind of watching him, he uses his body well kind of when leaving the line. He's happy to throw himself about. And for such a kind of tall goalkeeper, he must be about, he's very lanky looking anyway. He must be about 6'4", 6'5". Mm. But he's very good at kind of throwing himself down to kind of shots that are a bit lower. He could actually maybe do a bit better with the shots that are around about his head. I think his reactions are a little bit slower than that, than it is just kind of getting down. But yeah, I have been very impressed with what I was watching. I couldn't kind of believe when I was like kind of tallying up kind of the amount of saves. He still has problems with kind of parrying efforts and kind of pushing it out or not quite handling it. I think you used erratic. He's not kind of erratic in goalkeepers that generally when you think of goalkeepers erratic, you think of them doing really daft stuff. He's not that way. He's just not consistent enough in kind of his handling. Mm. I don't mean just kind of game to game kind of consistency. I mean just kind of not consistent enough in just what you kind of want from a goalkeeper, just kind of things that make you reliable. Just like handling and positioning and stuff, it can sometimes let him down. But he has had a number of very good saves this campaign, and he's done well, because I was certainly saying at the start of the season, what the hell is he still doing in the Ross County team? How are they not signing our goalkeeper? Then they signed Ross Doohan. Doohan couldn't get in the team ahead of him. He was like, what are County doing? Doohan came in. He looked okay. I think he had a decent debut against Hibs, but didn't really look overall like he was an improvement on Laidlaw. And he's since dropped out, went back to Celtic, and the clubs are fully Laidlaw's now, and they deserve them. So fair play to you, Ross. I used to call you shit for ages, but you've not been shit this season. Right. So we'll get to my number 11, and this is another surprise. Danny Rogers. Have you got him on your list?
Yes, I have got him just a wee bit higher.
Okay. He has, again, another one that is like, to be fair, I didn't think necessarily that Danny Rogers was poor this season. I thought that, I just kind of hadn't realised how many good saves he's made. He has one very good skill, it seems, for this season. He's very good at saving shots that are kind of a medium height that are curling into the far corner. He seems to spring across his goal well, especially with his right hand. There's been, I reckon, about four really good saves he's made so far this campaign from just managing to get a fingertip to a curling shot, an in-swinging curling shot that looks like it's going to find the far post. And that's pretty good for a goalkeeper. That's the kind of thing you want to do. And I think as well, he's maybe the opposite of Striek, he's like Striek as well, but I'm being a bit more positive about Rogers in that it's helped that his understudy or his replacement while he's been injured has been Colin Doyle, who is undoubtedly not in the top 12 goalkeepers in Scottish football, probably not even in the top 25 if you include other leagues. The big stupid Tory.
So yeah, I think Rogers had so obviously Kelly brought in the keeper from down south on loan. I can't remember. He played one game and got injured against Hibs.
Eastwood?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Jake Eastwood, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he just obviously got injured, didn't have a very good debut because he hadn't realised that Martin Boyle has actually got any pace. And when he came steaming out his goal. So when Rogers came in, I think there was a bit of trepidation from the Kelly fans. I don't think his Kelly career started all that great, but he certainly came onto a game, and I do think Kilmarnock have missed him big time, and that's where I've had him pushed him further up. Actually, I've quite liked Rogers. I know it's not quite happened for him since his loan spell at Falkirk, but I do think he has shown enough this season with Kelly that he is he can be a decent Premiership goalkeeper. I think he's one of the goalkeepers. He's like you said, he's got a good spring on him, so he can get across the goal quite well, quite quickly. He's got a good spring, very agile. So I've got him ninth.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I've got somebody in mind that I'm actually regretting picking already. I might have just picked on reputation alone, but we'll get to that when that arises. Who's your 11?
My 11 is Scott Bain.
Ah, yeah, that's who I've got ninth. And that's, I'm kind of wondering, have I got him too high? Let's see your argument for Bane being a bit lower.
I was reluctant to pick a Celtic goalkeeper.
I think he's definitely the best of the three. For what we've seen, like, I think Celtic fans want to see more of Barkas to see if he is good. I mean, the pedigree that Barkas has would dictate that he's better than Scott Bain. But for what we've seen in Scottish football and what we've seen this season, I would still say Bain's better, even though I don't think he's that good. And he certainly shouldn't be a Celtic goalie.
I think, I mean, he could be a Celtic goalkeeper, but I think he's a number two at Celtic.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I think he could be a number one elsewhere in Scotland. But Bain is someone to me who is... probably needs to be kept busy. I don't think he doesn't really get that at Celtic, and his flaws become more pronounced at Celtic because he is not as busy. I think it's kind of, if you look stats wise, he's averaging, he's above average both in terms of for the league in terms of save rate and prevented goals. But when you actually compare him to the two Rangers goalkeepers, there's like they're miles apart, and It's all well and good. It's all well and being well and good being a fine goalkeeper, but at Celtic you need to be, as we've seen this season, a lot better than fine. And I think that's because the reason he is probably 11th on my list is because I've kind of weighed up against the expectation of what's required at Celtic and what he has delivered. And again, it goes back to previous seasons as well. I just don't. There's just an unreliability about him, which I always, when I see him on the team sheet, I think there could be something in there for the opposition.
He's never looked like a great top flight goalkeeper, and when I say great, I mean like top three or four.
No,
since he's like first season in the Premiership with Dundee, and he's
fine in the Premiership, but. You need more than fine.
Yeah, you need more than fine at Celtic, and he's somebody that's managed to live off that reputation for quite some time. Like even when he first went to Celtic and then started, you know, fans were calling him to play, and then he started playing against ahead of Craig Gordon and stuff, and I was just like, what are they doing? Like, it's like this reputation that he's kept because he made all these eye-catching saves at Dundee, and then he would make these howlers. Mm-hmm. Like shots would just pass through him. But they didn't seem to get brought up as much. It was one of the saves that anybody paid attention to. It was because it was at Dundee, probably. It's like, he's conceded a rubbish goal. It's like, ah, oh, well, keeper might have done better there. He makes a fabulous save. It's like, oh, look at this kind of thing. Whereas if he was making those same kind of errors for like a club like Celtic, he definitely would have been more magnified. And he just seems to have coasted on that. But at the same time, I do still think he has qualities. He has a very good shot stopper. It's just the fact that he's just not been consistent enough in terms of being reliable since that kind of first or maybe even the second Dundee season. I think it was the second one where he was nominated for Player of the Year again, but even a lot of like Dundee fans are like, really? he's not been that good that campaign, and then he got worse for there. Some of that was to do with, I think, falling out with Paul Hartley and... Was it Paul Hartley or Neil? No, Neil McCann, he fell out with. But it was kind of perceived for a while that he was wanting kind of out of Dundee, and his performance has dipped as a result. But he still never looked back to that level. And the fact that he's played so much for Celtic these last couple of years is pretty wild, if you ask me. Right, my number 10 is Ross Laidlaw. We've already discussed him. Who is your number 10?
My number 10 is a goalkeeper who's potentially out injured for the rest of the season because he slipped on ice outside his house.
Is this Ryan Fulton?
Ryan Fulton, yes.
I don't have him on my list. I did look at him. He's had a better campaign. That's all I'm going to say.
So yeah, the 12, 11, I'm probably doing Scott Bain a disservice. So probably if I was rewriting this, I'd probably put Scott Bain 10th.
I would certainly put Scott Bain ahead of Ryan Fulton.
Yeah, yeah. But again, it was just this going back to Bain, they're just the Celtic. I was reluctant to put a Celtic goalkeeper on this list this season. But Fulton, he seemed to get a hard time from Aki's fans. And then there's a lot of times I've watched Aki's games, and I think that he gets a hard time. Okay, there's been a couple occasions, especially early in the season, where he hasn't been the goalkeeper that Hamilton have needed, but he's made a lot of good saves, and I think he's got quite good handling. relatively good in terms of coming off his line and claiming balls. And I do think he's underrated.
You're right that he's got good handling, and he is quite good at coming off his line. Third in the league for coming off his line per 90 minutes. He just, for me, still makes too many mistakes, and that's kind of what's blighted his entire career. And, I mean, that sounds like an obvious thing to say, but obviously, like, he's still young, and this is why I think Hamilton signed him in the first place. This is why he was at Liverpool as a youngster. This is why he was, for quite a while, I think, the backup for Scotland under-21s. And that he has pedigree, he has ability, he has the talent. He makes too many errors. I mean, of all the goalkeepers I kind of looked through this season and tallied up their errors, he was definitely number one for that. I had him at making 8 egregious errors this season.
Oh, really? As much as that?
with another 5 that were debatable. He still has, and this is why when he first came into the team at Accies, he used to make these type of errors all the time. And he was just like, you couldn't play him because he would just make a complete fuck up. And you can't have a goalkeeper that's prone to do that at any point. I think those mistakes have receded this campaign, and it's certainly his best season to date, but just not quite enough for me. I wouldn't be surprised if he is featuring higher on my list in another couple of years, because he's still pretty young, is he not,
he's
as well?
He's 24.
24, that's very young for a goalkeeper still. I mean, if you think that goalkeepers don't hit their, a lot of them don't hit their peak to their early 30s, then he's certainly got the ability and the potential to make my list in future years.
The only one thing I'll say in his favour is that he is often on the receiving end of a lot of pressure and shots.
Yes, that's
Hamilton true. Goalkeeper.
Yeah, and the more kind of pressure under, the more mistakes you're likely to make. But
yes,
there is somebody else who's faced more shots this season who is much higher on my list.
That's true. And he is a lot higher on my list as well.
Right, let's... So where are we now? That was your number 10, is that correct?
Yeah.
Right, then my number 9, I said already, Scott Bain. Don't think too much to add to this. Did I have another point? Oh, I was just kind of thinking that... Yeah, if Scott Bain's probably the start of this list now, where I'm like, if Hearts signed him, like, not obviously not to replace Gordon, but say to play understudy for a couple of years, then take over, I wouldn't be completely against it. But like, yeah, we could do worse. Probably be rubbish when he came to Hearts, obviously, like everybody is. But that's the kind of start of me thinking, like, okay, we're getting to the territories here where goalkeepers are starting to get a bit better. So let's go to your number 9.
So my nine and 8, we've really spoken about them. So my 9 is Danny Rogers.
Okay. So my number 8, and I originally thought he was going to place a bit higher on this list because I was really impressed with him, especially at the start of the season. That's Jack Anik of St Mirren. You look surprised. Have you got him higher?
Yeah, I've got him a lot higher. I've been really impressed with him.
I was very impressed with him at the start of the season. I don't think he's been that good since, was it COVID that knocked him out for a bit? He was incredible in August and I think continued that into September. And then I think that's when he had the COVID trouble, and he's missed other games as well, maybe due to injury or maybe just due to St Mirren having COVID outbreaks every other weekend. But I don't think he's quite been at the form since early in the campaign, but he is still a very impressive goalkeeper, still made a number of really kind of cracking saves, most of those coming at the start of the season. Since then, I think his form's been okay, but not amazing. And that's why I've kind of knocked him this far down the list. I also think I've knocked him this far down the list because I've got somebody on my list I don't think you're going to have on yours, because you might have forgot about him. We'll come to that surprise in time.
Potentially.
Do you want to wait for your thoughts about Anik for later
on?
Yeah.
I'll speak about Anik when we get to him.
I was just trying to look at my notes there to see if there was anything. That was another thing that kind of stood out for me. His handling for me is a wee bit suspect. He does have a habit of parrying the ball before he's able. He has a habit of parrying the ball straight out, which is a bad trait for a goalkeeper anyway. Mm. But he sometimes needs, or certainly more often than a lot of goalkeepers I looked at, he needs kind of a second attempt to gather the ball when it's hit kind of straight at him or close to him. And that's a wee bit worrying. But like I said, he has been pretty good this season. And, I mean, I was kind of like mealy-mouthing about Bane there, but this is really, for eight onwards, is really the kind of, it's a solid list from eight onwards, put it this way. And in previous years, I think the league's been good enough that we've had 12 that have been just that kind of level, but not the last couple of years. I think this season is a bit better. Looking at this complete list, I'm not thinking anybody here has been like a duffer. Like, since, I think we did have a proper couple of duffers last season, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, there was Hearts were in the league, so there was three duffers alone. So.
Well, none of them, be honest.
Yeah, I know.
It's like trying to give Bobby Zavallis linked into 12 or something horrendous like that. But yeah, so he's my number eight. Who is yours?
So my number eight is someone we talked about, Max Drake.
Right, so would you like to say any more on why you're so big on him compared to me? Or have you already kind of covered it?
Yes, I've covered. I thought he's from what I've seen looked a solid presence between the sticks. And like I said, it will, my list 12, 11. So the kind of bottom five are bottom three, not all fussed on, and then Rodgers and Strake kind of shrug, and then it's seven onwards where I think these are the goalkeepers I would like between the sticks if. If Craig Gordon was to be struck by lightning or an illness.
Right. Speaking of getting struck down by illness, my number seven is somebody that I think you don't have in your list.
Trevor Carson?
Yes, because he's been injured for most of the season.
Yeah.
But when he did play this campaign, having been out for over a year, I think, with deep vein thrombosis, came back for the start of this campaign. I thought, excellent for the first 2-3 months. He then sustained a knee injury, which has put him out for the rest of this campaign. And maybe looking at the list, I maybe wouldn't have him any higher. So maybe Jack Anik can maybe feel a bit aggrieved to not be ahead of Carson, just because purely, we don't know what Carson's going to be like. He's a big knee injury. The rumours are that his knees are a bit of a problem, so this might not just be a kind of one-off thing and then he'll come back to being as good as he was next season. This might be kind of like a career kind of damaging kind of injury. So for me to have him at number seven is maybe a bit of a leap of faith that everything, he's going to come back and everything's going to be fine again. But he done it before. Came back for a very serious illness, a life-threatening illness. It just kind of picked off where he started. It kind of picked up where he left off this season. I mean, his save against Ross County, I think for Ross Stewart on the opening day, still might be the best save of the season so far. It was just an incredible stop as he somehow managed to push that effort onto the bar. And he just kind of continued off making great saves, looking very reliable at the same time, not making any kind of egregious errors. And so that's how he was able to land on my list at the kind of the midway point.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I seen him when I was kind of going through Y-Scout, but he just didn't really feature in my thoughts. And again, he is someone who was looking back, would I put on my list just because I thought probably hadn't played enough games. Looking at it now, he's played a lot more than I certainly remembered. He would come in probably around eighth and bump everyone else down. My number seven is another Motherwell player, Liam Kelly.
I have him as my number six.
I've been, up until that Kilmarnock game recently, had been really, really impressed with Kelly. Everyone knew how good a goalkeeper was just because of his time at Livingston. He's come back up there. I was watching some of his saves today, and this is what happens when don't write stuff down. It's just that his handling is very good. When he is someone who can cleanly gather the ball, and I quite like when he does gather the ball. He's quite quick. He does it with intensity that he looks to try and get Motherwell on the break when he does gather the ball. He's really good at, I think he is actually quite a similar build to Carson. He's really good at making himself a big presence when facing one-on-ones, and also his reflexes, his ability to get down to shots. There's the one from, is it Pittman against Livingston at Fir Park? Dates wrong, end of February, start of March, where he just got down really quickly to his right, really well, And I think he has, you can just see how much of a difference he has made from the Motherwell team, obviously, who lost Carson, who went through a couple of goalkeepers, and then they brought in Liam Kelly, and it just made a substantial difference.
Yes, I have. So I've got for Kelly over Carson, mainly, kind of mainly due to the injury thing, but also as well, and this is where I've got Kelly over Anik. And this is the other one where Anik could maybe feature above Kelly, because over the course of the season, looking at the kind of stats I wrote down, they're fairly comparable. Like I just said earlier, I am wondering whether Anik's first couple of months, where he made so many great saves, was kind of a purple patch for him. Whereas Kelly, the same could be said of Kelly, but there's just kind of a bigger sample size because we saw him do it at Livingston as well. And since he's coming in January, the amount of great saves he's made is frankly ridiculous. In just like, just 4 months? Turned 4 months because he signed at the start of January. He's made a couple of errors, a couple of noticeable errors, the come on at one being one of them. But it's just got offset by the amount of goals he's managed to save Motherwell by pulling out incredible stops. And that's not to even talk about the amount of goals he saved Motherwell by pulling out simple stops that Aaron Chapman couldn't do.
Yes. So I think he's unique in the Scottish Premiership, because I've seen this data analysis of Scottish Premiership goalkeeper performance, and he's the only one who is slightly below average for save percentage rates, but he is... but has prevented goals rather than cost goals. So I think that almost tallies up.
There's that stat in Wisecout, the prevented goals per 90.
Yes.
I kind of fell out a wee bit when I saw Danny Rogers, Mark, because he's like quite poor. He's like negative 1.8 or something.
Negative 2.1, I think.
Oh, right. So he's got...
0.21.
He's got like the third or fourth worst mark in the top flight, and then I watched all his saves. I was like, well, fucking, how are you missing all these? Like, do these not count for anything?
Yeah, I'm not exactly. I tried to do some digging as to how it's collated and what it means, but I couldn't find
it. Fair enough. But I certainly didn't rate too much on Rogers. It seems to be kind of generally good for the rest of them, but it's always that kind of release stat stuff. There's always one that makes you go, well, that's wrong. And if that's wrong, how much can I trust the rest of them? Because they are still tallied by a person, and a person has to make these judgments. Right. Anyway, without going down that particular...
Colin Doyle's wife doing it.
Yes. Without going down a stats rabbit hole, let's get back to the list. So Kelly was my number six. Who's yours?
My number six is Joe Lewis.
Oh, what? No, how dare you, Mr. Skin? How dare you?
He has been living off his reputation. He's been similar to Derek McInnes these last two seasons, where he has been living off a reputation, and it's almost coasting. For the quality of Joe Lewis, I've been relatively unimpressed with his output this season. I mean, he probably had one of the worst mistakes of the season against Livingston. It's not the only egregious error he has made this season. He's got to the point where he makes some great saves, and yeah, he is a really, really good shot stopper. But there's just other aspects of his game where it's just never really improved. Kicking, for one, he's someone that he just looks so awkward. He had a early on in the season, I think he had a potentially against St Johnson mistake, just blurring off someone, or not blurring off someone, just not getting clean purchase on a ball. I just think he has. He has dropped while others have risen.
I've got very high, very, very high indeed. I still think he's had a fairly good campaign. I think. I'll get to it when I get to Lewis. All right, right. My number five is Rangers reserve John McLaughlin.
I've got him higher.
Who came at the start of this season looked pretty good. It has to be said. Not a huge sample size. They kind of seem to be almost rotating him and McGregor to start with. And then after about October onwards, it's just going to be McGregor's role now, with McLaughlin coming in to spot him every now and again. We saw him often when he was at Hearts. One of the most reliable goalkeepers I've ever seen. really rarely ever makes a mistake, can make very good saves as well, and just a thoroughly dependable custodian.
Yeah, everything you've said, so I've got him higher. Everything you said is completely true, and everything you said is why I've got him higher. It's because he doesn't let you down. He showed in his small sample size that he is an excellent goalkeeper. I think the only reason he's not playing is because he has the best goalkeeper in front of him, by far the best goalkeeper in Scotland in front of him. I'm a massive fan of John McLaughlin, and I would have him over most of these most Scottish Premiership goalkeepers other than three in Scotland.
Right, who is your number five then?
My number five is Anik.
Right.
Is from the get go, he has really impressed me. I think you've been pretty harsh on him with your rating. There was games escaped me. He made a fantastic save not that long ago, or it was Ross County, Harry Payton's header, point blank, where he pushed up onto the bar and then saved. It was quick to save the rebound, and that's something I like in Anik, is that he has. Yeah, I think he does parry a lot of shots, but he's actually very good, very quick at getting back up and getting across his line.
If you're talking about what I think it's about, I don't think that's a good save. I think it's right at him. It's right at him, and he somehow pushes it onto the bar, which if he pushed it right over the bar, I would have been like, okay, that's good.
But
he pushes it in the net.
but he's right under the bar. Like he's literally on his line. So I think it's a very hard one to push over the bar. And then it's a powerful.
Why is he pushing it up anyway? It's like right at his chest. Like just catch it.
He can't catch a ball that
No, I know. I was being facetious there. He wouldn't be able to catch it. It was too close to him. But I still think it was weird that it ended up on the crossbar. I don't think it needed to go there.
I don't think it was as low as you think. But there's a lot of goalkeepers where you see a shot come at them and they turn. They just do this weird turn. And Joe Pereira was so bad at it. Where he kind of turns his body and then he'd put his hands up as if, oh, that was like trying to make an effort, but you're actually making yourself
a smaller
target and more unlikely to save it. I think Anik stands strong and does really well with that particular header.
I mean, that's fine, but there's not a single goalkeeper on my list who would fucking turn his body in that situation, so I'm not giving him that.
I think there's a few goalkeepers on these lists that would do that. Scott Bain for one.
Ah, yeah, he does actually have a habit of making himself small. It was somebody else who, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody else I maybe looked at that, was it? Maybe Roger sometimes as well can fling himself. Mm. When they try to save every shot with your kind of hands, basically. And because you do that, you end up making yourself smaller because you have to kind of contort your body to get your hand in the position where it's just like, sometimes just make yourself bigger.
So going back to Anik, he's someone when St Mirren signed him, I thought, well, that's a decent enough signing. I didn't see enough of him at Rangers, and I hadn't realised, probably underappreciated how good he is, and that's probably made him even better in my eyes, is the impact he has had on St Mirren. I think he has at times been one of the best goalkeepers in the Scottish Premiership this season. I think, for me, he's looked relatively reliable. His kicking is fine. He's got a decent presence. So, yeah, fifth, I think you're quite harsh with an eighth.
Well, we can maybe come to some sort of agreement at the end. We can maybe pour over a list and come to... And I'd be happy to bump Anik up a couple of places. Well, not over goes far as fifth, but a couple of places. Right, my number four is Hibs goalkeeper Ofir Marciano.
I think this is the first one we've got same.
Yes. If I go for just, I don't know what to say that I haven't really kind of said already about him. I mean, a fantastic shot stopper, somebody who's got a really kind of great, him and Lewis and another goalkeeper we're going to talk about very soon as well. Well, maybe actually mainly the other goalkeeper and Marciano have kind of almost a prototypical body type for a goalkeeper, in that they're tall, but they're also very broad as well. Mm. And it's just such an obstacle to try and get round if you're a defender. And he does have these. He has a propensity for making outrageous saves as well. I do still think that he is a bit overrated by Hibs fans, but I can completely understand why. He's overrated by Hibs fans, I believe, because he's the best Hibs goalkeeper since Jim Leighton, probably. But unlike Jim Leighton, he doesn't make any errors in Derby games. So, I mean, that's got to be voting him into pretty high status. But I'd still think that he still has rickets that he makes quite a few times a season. He's not the most reliable, I would say.
I went into this kind of half expecting to put Marciano a wee bit further down my list, because in my mind I had him making at least two egregious errors this season, maybe a couple more where I'm thinking that he really should have done better. But when I was looking back at goals conceded by Hibs, there was only Liam Craig St. Johnson goal recently where he perhaps should have palmed it around the post, albeit remember him watching that at the time, thinking it was a hard one because it came through bodies. I actually didn't see it till quite late. So you've made the note of them. How many mistakes do you think he made?
Of all the goalies on my list, Marciano and my number one was the two I didn't manage to get time to get to. So
okay. To
be fair, from what my memory and kind of watching Hibs games this season kind of backs up, and that I think he's had quite a quiet season.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a weird thing to say for a goalkeeper, but I don't think he's made too many great saves. I also don't think he's made too many errors.
No, I think this has probably been his most, probably quiet's the word, quiet Hibs season, is that I think they are, Hibs, as I've seen it today, are quite good at stopping teams from creating high quality chances. So when teams do get chances, they're probably not the greatest against Hibs. So he's not had to pull kind of rabbits out of the hat. I do think I did go into this thinking he had made a couple of errors, and watching the goals back, I actually thought he's been a lot more consistent than my memory had it. And you compare it to last season, I think we got a bit of stick for where we placed him. He made some excellent saves, certainly in the second half of last season, but there was also one or two really bad errors, whereas this season it's been just a quietly consistent season for Marciano.
Marciano wasn't good at all in, I think it was the first half of last season. Now, Hibs weren't good at all in general, so maybe that had something to do with it. But it was kind of perceived that he was kind of, maybe kind of had one eye on elsewhere. And it was kind of the poorest period of his Hibs career. So I didn't have any problem with having him quite low last season. I think we had him like sixth or seventh. But he's bounced back to an extent that he's just not made many mistakes this campaign. And Hibs are certainly going to be sad to see him go in the summer. It looks almost certain that he's going to leave. And I mean, you don't have to go back too far to see how bad things can get in terms of goalkeepers at Easter Road. So, like I say, I've always kind of thought the Hibs fans, because Hibs fans love Marciano, absolutely love him. Mm. And, I mean, it's fair enough to think he's really good. It's the kind of status that he has that it's always kind of taken me aback. But again, taking me aback, but understandable at the same time. When you can put, like, Mark Oxley in your, top half of goalkeepers you've had in the last 20 years, I mean, you can understand getting very excited about something like Marciano.
Yeah, and you have to remember, even still one of the best saves seen that Faisal El Baktoui, his save from Faisal at Easter Road, is that he is probably one of three goalkeepers certainly over the last few seasons in Scotland who's just capable of just making breathtaking saves that, should have reworded that. He is a goalkeeper who is capable of making breathtaking saves that only one or two others goalkeepers in Scotland over the last few years are capable of matching.
Right, my number three, and I'm going to assume this is your number two, Dundee United keeper Benjamin Sigrist.
Yes.
What a campaign he's had, to be fair. Like, I didn't think, I mean, we knew he was kind of decently rated at championship level, but I don't even think then he was kind of looked upon as like, oh, there's going to be this great goalkeeper coming up. Like a few of the guys you've seen in recent years, like even kind of Ross Doohan, like I felt he got more of a write-up for his kind of year at Ayr United a couple of years ago than Sigrist got last year. But he's coming to the top flight and he's just been, for the most part, outstanding.
I could be corrected here by Dundee United fans, but I think even they are surprised, but obviously delighted of the progress he's made. I know he struggled with cross balls when he first came in at Tannadice. He is excellent at in comparison to what he was to begin with at Tannadice, he's excellent at coming for crosses. He's a lot more competent. He uses his size and reach a lot more. And that is, he's just got a great build for a goalkeeper. I think he's kind of similar to Marciano. He's tall. He's not lanky like Lewis. He just looks like a really athletic goalkeeper who can cover the whole goal. He can get across to shots. He has got really quick hands. Seen that against, was it Edward recently against Celtic, when Celtic had about 30 shots, but that was the best one where it went down the left and there was a really fierce shot. He'd kind of gone down and he just got his hands up so quickly to push the ball over the bar. And you go through the season and pick out games where he has just dominated and pick out moments where he's made great saves. Yes, he has made two or three errors. Like, if you go back to the first Celtic game at Tannadice, he was on for man of the match.
And I have more than two or three.
yeah. So I'd imagine. But we'll come back and caveat that with. But like, for example, Christie had a shot and he just kind of palmed it right up in there.
Yeah.
And it came back into play and eventually Celtic scored. You have to caveat with that. No goalkeeper has made more saves than Sigrist. And I'm right in saying that he makes the most saves per 90 minutes as well. So it's not a case of...
Yeah, he's faced the most shots, most saves per 90 minutes, but he's
conceded... Oh, no, it's Fulton and Laidlaw.
He's faced the most shots, 163, third most conceded goals, which is quite impressive. He's left his line the most of any goalkeeper. He is first in preventive goals per 90 minutes. And just kind of for my own stats, I had standout saves as 16 this season, which is, I guess, the most of any goalkeeper I've tallied. But the reason I have him third and not second is because he does make mistakes. And I tallied 5 where I thought he was definitely at fault and another 5 where I was kind of swithering. I thought he might have been at fault. So he does, he can get better. And I think that's a good thing for, I was going to say a good thing for United. What's his contract situation like?
He's definitely under contract. So he's under contract for at least one more year.
I think there you go. That's great for United, is that he might get even better this season, because if he can produce the same amount of saves and not have as many mistakes, then he'll be maybe the best goalie in the league.
Him and Shankland are by far their most saleable assets. He is contracted until... So just while I'm looking this up, he's contracted to 2022. So he's got another year on his deal.
Sometimes I think just a lack of concentration with himself, because he's had a couple of kicking flubs as well. Like the one against Rangers, he had another one against Motherwell that I think he managed he maybe got away with. But his handling is something we've not talked about. He rarely spills the ball. And the amount of times, I mean, either his position is very strong or he's the luckiest keeper in the league, because the amount of times, especially from headers, the ball just hits right at him and he manages to grab first time. It's just incredible.
I know you're going to come on and talk about Lewis, but a big part for me comes into his narrative. I think he's just his kind of story, just he's been United's best player.
Lewis, basically. That's it. You're just bored of him. Talked about him for 2 years.
That's it, because I remember last season when we were doing this, the last couple of seasons when we were doing his list, I've always kind of caveated Lewis is that he's been this high, but it has to be said, it's a lot of that's going on past performances. And it just feels like the last two or three seasons is his past performances. And I don't know if it's just a case of he just got so used to Joe Lewis and what he can do that he just like, okay, he's been Joe Lewis. And a new name, a sexier name comes on and he's like, okay, we'll push him up. But yeah, let's hear why Joe Lewis is vaunted.
So who's your number three first? It's John McLaughlin, isn't it?
John McLaughlin, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about him.
Yeah.
So yeah, number two, Joe Lewis. So he has had the errors this season. I think I counted 4 that he's made, which is less than... it is less than Sigrist, I have to say. Four definite and one debatable. So you can actually say 5 less in total. He does this every season, doesn't he? Where he has an absolute howler, like that Livingston one, where there's no doubt about it. You're like, what the hell are you even doing there? Usually against Motherwell. Usually in a cup against Motherwell. But this year, I don't know if any of them have come against him, but he has had his usual kind of errors. But he is still an excellent goalkeeper in terms of his shot stopping. And one thing that really stood out to me when I was kind of watching his saves, I think he's the best goalkeeper in the entire league at coming off his line and narrowing the angle. And that's quite an important skill to have. And that's something that I think that Seagrass can maybe work on himself. Seagrass, a lot of the time, would come out and stop and then make himself like a big target, which is fair enough. There are worse ways to deal with that. But I think he's still a little too static in terms of when the opportunity is there to dive at the ball, that he maybe doesn't take it as often as Lewis does. Lewis is just so good at always managing to just get something on it when a striker is going through and they've got a clear view of him in the goal. I think he just picks the best angle pretty much all the time. He's got a big frame, so he's a difficult target to get around. Target's not the word, is it? Difficult obstacle to get around. And to me, I mean, lifetime achievement does help as well. And as opposed to this guy who's just come up after one season and this interloper and is suddenly in the top two. Not for me. Joe Lewis, still there at number two for me.
That's fair. You've presented a solid case.
Do you want to say any more about Seagrass, or we just get to number one?
Just get to number one.
It's Alan McGregor, isn't it?
Yep. First, to be fair, I was straight away Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, the lead Craig Gordon. But no, Alan McGregor is the best goalkeeper in Scotland. Scotland's best goalkeeper, although he doesn't. He's retired now. I think what I was going to say about Gordon and McGregor was that they have been like just untested. They've been inactive for so long, yet in every game or every other game, they are capable of just making this absolutely spectacular save, as almost like you've been ready and waiting to make that save.
What do you think of this is a quick aside, but what do you think of, because a couple of people have said this in the chat, not us, in fact I don't think any Hearts fans have said it, that McGregor, that Gordon might be better than McGregor. What do you make of that argument? I disagree. I think it's a lot easier. I think it's a lot of recency bias, because I don't think anybody would have said that before this season. And Gordon's made a number of outstanding saves this season, but the majority of them have come against Scottish Championship sides. I'm sorry, the ball just doesn't move as fast in lower levels. The lower you go, the ball doesn't move as quickly. You don't have to react as fast to shots. And Alan McGregor's doing it in Europa League, like the fucking knockout stages of a European tournament. I mean, when was the last time that Craig Gordon was making consistent great saves in Europe? It wasn't even like his last season at Celtic. You had to go back probably a couple of years before then. So I don't think, to me, there's no really any argument in it. And I think it's just kind of recency bias and a kind of case of failing to respect how much harder it is to save shots at a higher level.
There's been a few occasions this season where I've watched a save in person from Gordon and just thought, fucking hell, that's one of the best saves I've seen in person. And then you go back and watch it, and it almost looks ordinary. So I don't know if that's it's my mind playing tricks at the game and just thinking because it happened so quickly that it makes it even better than it perhaps was, or just how good a goalkeeper Gordon is that he's able to make these saves look ordinary. Like the one from Kevin Nisbet was an incredible save, but it's almost like he knew where it was going, that it was able to just make it look kind of bread and butter. But yeah, I'd agree that going down the two of them, McGregor, not just for this season, but looking back across the last few seasons, he's been the best goalkeeper in Scotland. Last two seasons.
The saves he makes is ridiculous. And I do actually put it in his favour that he's really angry as well. Because I think that's a good trait for a goalie to have. I think it scares the opposition, and it probably also scares your defence not to make it any mistakes. You get this absolute fucking lunatic raving at you.
Yes, him and Gordon approach goalkeeping in very different ways. But yeah, I think McGregor's aggressiveness and also in the way that he'll approach the ball is like in one-on-ones, whereas like Gordon as just have this massive frame where you think, fuck, where'd I put it? Whereas McGregor just like the Tasmanian devil running at you.
This is an interesting question. Considering the makeup of the Hearts squad and the problems with it and the lack of leadership, would Hearts be a much better team if they had Alan McGregor in it as opposed to Craig Gordon? Not even just thinking about goalkeeping skills, just personalities.
I don't know, Gordon, there's another thing I've noticed about Gordon being in games is that he's there is sometimes an annoyance about him, and he is always talking and he's always demanding, which is obviously being missed when he's been away. Yeah, I there's definitely an argument for that with McGregor and just like the sheer standards. But I mean, you got Naismith. Naismith does that. He just always barking, always.
Has that maybe been a problem with Hearts in 2021? Is that Naismith missed a lot of it, and he's still, despite the fact that he's not actually that good anymore in terms of his playing ability, he's still vitally important because he's one of the few that actually shouts at teammates. And yeah, you're right, Gordon does shout. He's not terrifying though, is he?
No, McGregor is properly terrifying.
Imagine if Mihai Popescu played with Alan McGregor.
Oh, Popescu would be ran out of the country.
We don't even need a weapon, just McGregor chasing after him with his fists.
Yeah, he would. There's so many times I'd blow half time and McGregor would be chasing him up the tunnel.
Right, let's see if we can make a top 12 out of this. That's right. So my 12 was Strake, Rogers, and Laidlaw. You had Strake higher. And then we had Bane. So who was your four?
So Rogers, so I would probably go. So mine was Laidlaw, Fulton, Bane, Rogers. Bane or Fulton is flipped around. But I would definitely have Fulton either 12th or 11th after this discussion.
So you think it definitely should be in the list?
No. I think I would agree that what you put forward.
Okay, so Fulton drops out. So we're going to have Trevor Carson probably instead. I think that was the only variance.
Yeah.
So Strayek, do you still think he deserves in the top 10? You still demand and he goes there? Are you going to listen to me and have Rodgers and Laidlaw ahead of him and Bain?
I will. So, yeah, I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't go for a lower than 10th.
Right, okay. So maybe we'll split the difference then. Will we go, who do you want, Rodgers or Laidlaw as 12th?
Laidlaw.
Right, so we'll go Laidlaw, Rodgers, Strayek, Bain.
Yep.
Right, and then we come to the next lot. So I had Anik, Carson, Kelly and McLaughlin. I'm higher for Anik to go higher, to be honest.
I'm happy for Anik if you want him to split Carson and Kelly.
Okay. So Carson, Anik and Kelly, and then, right, so then add McLaughlin. You're McLaughlin higher. So our top five, so add McLaughlin, Marciano, Segrist, Lewis, McGregor. Yours was?
Mine was Anik, Marciano, McLaughlin, Segrist, McGregor.
So we can almost, so we both had Marciano at 4, but I don't know if that means he drops out because you've got McLaughlin. I think McLaughlin's got to go 5. It's not a whole lot of evidence on this season.
I'm not going to argue.
Okay. And then Marciano ahead of him. And I'm happy for Segrist to go number 2. So we're going to maybe bump Lewis down 1. And then have McGregor as number 1. So there we go. There's the definitive top 12 of goalkeepers in the Scottish Premiership this season. At number 12, Ross Laidlaw of Ross County. And number 11, it's Danny Rogers of Kilmarnock. Number 10 is Matt Strayek of Lewiston. 9 is Scott Bain of Celtic. 8 is Trevor Carson of Motherwell. 7 is Jack Anik of St Mirren. 6 is Liam Kelly of Motherwell. 5, John McLaughlin of Rangers. 4, Orfer Marciano of Hibs. 3, Joe Lewis of Aberdeen. 2, Benjamin Segrist of Dundee United. And number 1, Alan McGregor of Rangers. There we go. That was a good gin to start us off.
Interesting. I wish I paid more attention to goals conceded.
There's quite a bit of variance, so a little bit of debate, that's what you need. And if you'd like to hear more from the Terrace Podcast, please head over to Patreon, patreon.com/Terrace Podcast. The Patreon that'll be going on the £2 tier tonight will be a best of compilation made by Mr. Craig Kearns. I think it's from season 2013-14 of the podcast, so you'd like to get your nostalgia on, make sure to listen to that. There's also another kind of number of things we've done this week. Tony and Rob had a discussion on Monday about the end of A View for the Terrace Series 3. And we also had there was an interview that Duncan did with the author of a book about Andrew Watson, the first ever black international footballer and captain of Scotland for a match and a victory over England. And also we had myself, Gary and Rob going through the best transfers from the 2012 summer window. And also I'll be back tomorrow with Craig Anderson talking about some comments that John Hughes and Brian Rice have made this week and also looking ahead to the weekend's fixtures and what to watch. So make sure to check out all that. And that's patreon.com/terracepodcast. Joel, thank you for joining me. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me, Craig Fowler. And with the Scottish Premiership finally returning this weekend, I hope you enjoy your football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.